Hey, I had a really great time. I would love to do that again. So, give me a call back. You never did call me to let me know you got in safely. So, I was just checking on you. All right, call me back. Okay, I'm very confused. We went out, we had a good time. At least I thought we had a good time, and now you dodging me. You're not answering my calls. That's real crazy to me. Call me back. Call me back. Call me back. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Date podcast. This is the Healthy Dating Preservation podcast for millennials and anyone else who might need it. As usual, we're your hosts, Imani
And Candace.
and we're back.
Finally. My God, y'all. It's been a struggle this week.
This week was a little bit of a trial and tribulation to record, but it's okay because we're here.
Yes, it has definitely been a test. Before we get started, I don't, not to like make it heavy or anything, but I just want to shout everybody out for trying to keep their spirits lifted during this time. I know we are all over COVID, but it is still very real. I have a friend in the hospital right now that is fighting COVID with blood clots on his lungs, and that's really scary. So I think that just reminded me of how real this is. So y'all, please take care of yourselves, and we love y'all. Just wanted to say
Yeah,
that.
definitely. And rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman.
I'm
That
gonna say that too,
really,
but I didn't want to cry.
no, seriously, I don't know him from nobody and from nowhere. But for some reason, it feels like we are all so close to him. And I was very, very sad to hear that he had passed away.
Very much
And
so.
that he was sick in the first place. Like,
In the
that
first
really
place.
just, it was very upsetting. So just, you know, be kind to yourselves this week and further, because it's
It's a
really
lot
been a
going on
tough
there.
year.
Very much
It
so.
really, really has.
Be kind to
And
yourselves and be kind to other people, y'all. It ain't nothing like
yes,
having a
please.
regret not. So just, do the best you can by people while you can.
Yeah.
Because it's life is, hope can be fleeing, as they say. So just take care of yourselves and listen to your bodies,
Yeah.
because that's part of what's taking us what took us so long to record, because Candace doesn't listen to hers. So
Candace needed to be
sat down.
yes. That's right. I
Real
was trying to say that, but I couldn't think of the wording that I
girl
wanted to
needed to be
choose.
sat down in a real way, and I didn't realize how much I've just been like acting like stuff hasn't been happening until yesterday. Yes, so
Just
that's,
take care of yourself.
I'm trying my best. Okay, let's start to go because my chest being tight. All right, let's
Okay.
go. Pick up line of the week.
Yes.
This is actually also a COVID joke. Baby, you need
Can't.
toilet paper? Because I could be your friend Charmin.
Oh
You know,
my
people been running out of
goodness.
toilet
I was
paper.
like, Charmin. Charmin. Okay,
Charmin.
I get it. I get it. I'm like, Prince Charmin?
Probably
Why he
better
got
to
toilet
try that
paper?
one through text, though.
Oh yeah, that probably
It
is.
might be cuter through
But I was
text.
definitely over here like, why he got toilet
Why you don't?
paper?
Because they could have got it together, but this probably definitely would have been a good kick at the beginning of all this when everybody was acting like the apocalypse was coming.
Girl, why were they buying up all the toilet paper? Like,
The same reason
why
they
did
do
we
that
think
during
that?
hurricanes, the same reason they did that in year 2000. Like, I was like, if the world is ending, what are we gonna do with toilet paper and water?
I mean, I get it if we're gonna be like stranded in the house, but COVID was not us being stranded. It was quarantine. We were still gonna be able to go
To go
get
to the store,
essentials.
and
Like,
y'all was still
what?
going to the store every day.
Yes, like toilet paper. Oh, excuse me, I burped. Toilet paper in bulk is for when there's like a hurricane or a natural disaster where you might get stuck in your house and literally cannot go anywhere.
Right, I was
Y'all
like,
was
that's
buying
because
up.
the electricity is about to go out and
Girl, right. I was like, what are we buying all this toilet paper for? Mind you, I always buy toilet paper in bulk because I always remember seeing it in my home in bulk. So I didn't buy toilet paper the entire quarantine because I already had some. And I
Yeah,
had
I
enough to
live by
last me through
myself, so
quarantine.
I get me a big stack when I go grocery shopping, so I didn't need anything. I was just like, and everybody's like, you better go get some. I was like, I think I'll be okay if I run out. The way y'all been shopping, I'm gonna just come to somebody else's house and save the toilet
Right.
paper.
I didn't run out of toilet paper till maybe like, let's see, we went into quarantine in March. I didn't need toilet paper until like May.
Yeah, I think when I ran out, it was crazy because every time I was going to the store, I was like, I'm not buying stuff that's not a necessity. So I wasn't like panicking like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And one day I went to the store and I had finally got down to like bare minimum of everything. And the whole store was full. And I said, see, this is why you just got to trust God. Y'all trying to provide on your own. And if you just wait on the Lord. I came up in the store. Everything I needed. The lines were short. It was hella mm-hmm. tissue. Heck of food. Like, I said hella after I said God.
It's fine. What I mean. God knows. Right. God knows where hell's at.
He knows. He knows. And it was a whole lot of it. That's all I'm saying. So, y'all just, that's y'all word for today. Trust God, okay?
Period.
You can't have faith in fear. It don't work.
All right, come on, somebody. Ooh, don't give me the show. Because you know I will.
Listen. My back been hurt, so I ain't been able to cut up in church like I want to. But hey, I owe God some laps when I feel
good. Okay. Okay. I'm not even going to lie. I've been at home watching church getting my life. I've been like really like yelling at my computer screen. Like, I'll be. I alternate between watching my church here and my church at home. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like watching. I'd be like, huh? come on.
Girl.
Uh-huh. Like I would be if I was in church for real.
Me too. Girl, Easter, tell my house up. Okay.
Yep. And then if I'm watching on Facebook Live, I'd be in the comments like, I know that's right.
Yes. You know. That was the hard part for me because I was the moderator for our church. So I'm like trying to comment on my phone to say what I want to say, but then on the computer I got to be able to respond to people and like stuff. I'm like, yes! I need to be able to type this right quick.
Right. That is funny. Online church is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I like watching online.
No, it wasn't, but I ain't going to lie. Like,
I'll be glad when we get to go back, though.
Yeah, I'm grateful that I go to a small church and that we are able to, like, because we've been going back now for since the first week of August or no
girl
no
they
actually
tried,
a few
but...
weeks before that we've been going back since July.
No, we're still not back, but we have an outdoor service the first Sunday of every month.
Oh, okay.
So you pull up in your car and it broadcasts to your radio so everybody can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having like the people who are singing and whatever else are on this like stage thing out front of the church.
Okay.
But nobody gets out their cars to come do anything or none of that. So
yeah,
it's still pretty safe. I actually like that setup. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if there's ways for people to join, I think that's awesome. But like, that's, yeah, I think that it has really just been like a blessing in disguise because it's like, you know, people want to have big church all the time, but like you really don't realize like when other people can't and you can't. It's crazy to say it, but it's like we just grateful that our church is small enough to be able to still join and social distance and be safe.
Yeah.
And like one of our church members, she's been battling cancer for a minute. And when I tell you she be in church every Sunday, she was singing this Sunday. Like today, aww, she was singing. I was so excited to just see her back on stage because, you know, she had to step back for a while when she was going through her chemo and everything. So
yeah,
to just see her singing today and like, I don't know. She definitely like lives on faith, and her husband are really strong people. So it's just awesome to see how they're navigating through everything. Did everybody play with a 42 jersey this weekend in baseball?
Huh?
Did everybody play with a 42 jersey this weekend in baseball?
They might have. I don't know.
I just happened to flip by ESPN.
I didn't even look, but they might have because of
Jackie Robinson Day
and the passing of Chadwick Boseman, who played Jackie Robinson in the movie. So
they might have even made it a thing. This Philadelphia and Atlanta game, they definitely all got on a 42. That's what's up. Okay, back to the show. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so on this week's episode, we are going to be talking about the honeymoon phase and what to do when it's over.
Yeah. God bless.
So let's start with the dig in the scene. All right, so let's really get into what is the honeymoon phase. And I feel like this could be interpreted differently for mm-hmm. everybody, but the relationship experts, most of the stuff that I found, said around the same type of stuff. Like, the honeymoon phase is when it's fun, it's super romantic, you know, you're still getting to know each other, so everything is a good time. Like, every time you spend time together, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much arguing or anything like that. You don't have anything to not see eye to eye on because you haven't learned much about each other yet. So it's kind of just, like, the part where you're just, like, super lovey-dovey and all of that. And most of the experts also say it can last anywhere from 6 months to 2 years.
I've been gypped.
And honestly, if it ends before that, there, I mean, you can think if it completely ends before that. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But
okay.
So anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, especially if you're thinking like married couple, like newlywed phase, everybody considers newlyweds still newlyweds until about their like 3 years in, mm-hmm. or something like that. So for you, what does your honeymoon phase look like, and what has been your longest honeymoon phase and your shortest one, you think?
So for me, the honeymoon phase is like you said, that's when everything is going good. You're enjoying yourself. You're having fun. Mine, unfortunately, I always related to something negative. Like, not necessarily our first argument, but the first time you kind of show something inconsistent to what you've been showing me. So, like, when your behaviors start to change, that's when mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, okay, this might be whimpering out. Because, for one, we are both starting to get comfortable with each other, but sometimes I feel like people get too comfortable too fast. So mm-hmm. I would say the shortest honeymoon phase for me was probably like 4 months. And I was like, we barely in a relationship and you are already like misbehaving. So. And he was like, well, the honeymoon stage don't last forever. I was like, oh, ooh, ooh.
Okay, but it's only been 4 months. Right, so if we're going to be together forever, I need it to last more out. Than 4 months.
Right. I think the longest was probably a year and a half till I found out he was cheating. He was just very ready. Attentive and like we just always had good times. It was just, you know, then I realized that there was another woman around and it was like, oh, just crash and burn.
Right. So. I think my honeymoon phase is definitely the lovey-dovey, super romantic, you know, you want to see them all day, every day, like, you, I miss you in the middle of the day, and you just saw this man yesterday, mm-hmm. like, that kind of stuff. So, and I appreciate that. I am a typically a romantic person. I like romance. I like all of that. Like, I like to feel like you want to be with me, and because I like to feel that way because I like to show that, mm-hmm. like I want to be able to do that, but I hate doing it if I don't feel that in return.
Yes.
So for me to feel comfortable doing that, I need to feel that.
I think that's my trigger when it's over, is when I start to feel like I'm not getting it in return, and I've started to show it so much.
Yeah. And I think the end of my honeymoon phase for me doesn't necessarily signify anything negative, but it kind of is the point at which we're not trying to prove anything anymore. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times in the honeymoon phase, you are trying to show someone how much you love them. You are trying to show someone that you're interested. You're showing them, like, you know, you're trying to prove something, not in a bad way, but that's what you're doing.
Right.
You're getting to know someone and you want them to know that you want them. And they're trying to do the same thing. And so the end of the honeymoon phase is when, duh, we want each other. And you hear all the time, and I'm not dressing cute that much no more. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it ain't on purpose. It's
and I might talk back.
You, yeah. well, I was already doing that. But you're going to come over on a Thursday, and it may not be, like, sparkling, straightened up. I'm going to just text you, like, hey, I was fixing something earlier and this stuff all over the floor, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Or my hair ain't done, but you can come over, like that right. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in that honeymoon phase, you're like, oh my God, he's coming over, I have to clean up. Or I'm going to tell him he can't come over until next weekend because that's when I get my hair done, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you come over, my bonnet is on. I got on the shorts that probably got a little hole in them from high school. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really doing the most no more. And I'm not expecting you to do the most no more because we know each other. We love each other already. And it's fine. That don't mean you don't ever do nothing romantic. But on a day-to-day, we don't have nothing to prove. We already love each other.
Yeah. I think in my last situation, I knew the honeymoon phase was over. Like, from him trying to, like, go out of his way of impressing me is when he stopped having me come over his house, like, on Wednesdays or, like, Fridays. And I realized that.
Because that's when it was clean.
Yeah, the cleaning lady came on Tuesday and Thursday.
Yes!
So I was always, because I'd be like, wow, he making his bed as tidy. And, right, and then he told me he had a clean lady, but I was like, yeah, but there's no way she's, like, I don't know how often she's coming, but maybe he's just tidying up. And then girl. I came over there on a Monday. I was like, oh, you are gross. There's a reason you got a clean lady.
And you need to be paying her good
right,
money.
Right. Like, I hope you pay her good money because this is out of control. He like, she's coming tomorrow. Don't judge me. No, I am judging you because I didn't know that you was up here living in this filth. Like, what is going on? I'm not staying over here on the weekend unless we have a cleaning party. Come on. Everybody do your share. Everybody everywhere. Grab a
book. I think my last serious relationship, the honeymoon phase, I really do feel like the portion of our honeymoon phase where we don't have nothing to prove no more happened really quickly mm-hmm. because I think we fell in love very fast.
Same.
But the romance, he was very, very romantic, like an extremely romantic person. And that made me want to be more romantic too. Like I'm romantic, but he was like beyond romantic. Like one time, this is when I was online, so I was like never home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was staying with me for a second because his apartment wasn't ready yet. Like he was in between, like moving places. So, but we would keep missing each other because of class and because of me being online and all that. So one time I came home and there was all these like little paper cranes in my living room. I mean, in my bedroom, like origami paper cranes. And I was like, what is this? This is so cute. And then there was a note on the bed that said, press play on the DVD player. And I was like, okay, so I press play. And I don't want to be wrong about what movie it was. It's a blur. But I think it was either like Home Alone or something like that. But there was this thing. It was like somebody was talking about the significance of a paper crane, like in relation to somebody they love or something like that. Girl, you know, I was on the bed like, oh my God, that's so sweet. I was weeping like, this is so nice. Oh my God. But like little stuff like that. And we had been together for over a year at that point. So you know what I'm saying? Like it just was like little, I like little stuff like that. So I don't want that type of stuff to stop, but I'm cool with the honeymoon phase of we have to prove all of this and I, you know, I can start looking like whatever I want to look like.
Right. For sure. Y'all ain't been stepping up with me.
I'm telling you. Isn't it so sweet?
And I think there's levels to being romantic because for a long time, like, I didn't even think I was into that stuff because I dealt with somebody that was just so blah. And then when I did meet somebody that was romantic, like I think he was just worried about, he thought I was just so tough and so hard. It was certain stuff he didn't want to do that was super sweet. So he like slowly introduced me to all these romantic things. And that kind of changed my mindset on stuff I could do to show people that I cared about them, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe I just still haven't like shown.
It has to do with, because I'm not a person that believes that you make someone be romantic. Like, right. If there's a level of romance that you expect, then you just have to wait for that person to be that. Because forced romance is not romantic to me. No. If I begged you for a week to take me to dinner and then you take me to dinner, I don't feel romanced by that.
Right.
I feel like I asked for something and you gave it to me. Like, but I do congratulations, feel like
some of it is learned behavior, though. Maybe not necessarily the exact action, but like I said, for me, I was not naturally romantic. You know, like, I didn't think to do certain things.
Of course.
So, like, seeing somebody do that, I was like, it gave me all these ideas of, like, you can really just think about something so small that ends up being, like, so sweet to somebody.
But it's the desire, though, that somebody didn't have to incite in you.
Right.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, whether somebody, because, again, he was way more romantic than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So that did make me be more creative, think of more things to do more often, not just on a birthday or whatever the case may be. I considered myself a really thoughtful person, but he definitely had me beat. So it was like, it was like I had the desire to do that on my own. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that he had to do to make me want to be romantic with him. Sure. I just was feeding off of his energy, which was extremely, extremely romantic. So I was like thinking of more things to do. And I don't think it's nothing wrong with, you know, meeting someone who, you know, maybe they aren't the most romantic right away, but if you are showing them that that's the kind of thing that you like, and they're like, oh, I do want to do that.
Right.
And yeah, of course, but you shouldn't have to be like nagging nobody to do something.
Can you please grab me some flowers?
Like, why you don't never do this? And why you don't never do this? Now, if they used to do it and they're not doing it no more, then of course, yeah. But if they never did it, what are you upset about?
Right.
Like, you already had.
Doing that.
Yeah, right. And especially if they like, I ain't buying no flowers, they just gonna die. Like, don't do not let nobody talk you out of the things that make you feel special, please.
I agree.
But anyway, so for a lot of people, the end of the honeymoon phase does not end that way. It is the presence of the first conflict mm-hmm. or the first tension in the relationship where people feel like, this is it. The honeymoon phase is over. We fight.
Yep.
Like,
here you go. So, here's the relationship.
I know. So we're going to talk a little bit about that now. Like a lot of times we get into a relationship during the honeymoon phase mm-hmm. where we've never experienced an argument with this person. We've never experienced disappointment from this person. We've never experienced anything negative. We're just so happy to be with them that now we're together. And then when you see something that you dislike from them, you're shook because you never imagined that you would dislike whatever it was that they did that much, or that you would see them behave this way, or that you would hear them say that type of thing or whatever. So sometimes it's about like what to do leading up to it to kind of prime yourself for that. If you want to be with somebody long term, it's not like you're anticipating a fight, but conflict resolution isn't. That's a regular life skill. Mm-hmm. It's not really just a relationship skill. So thinking through watching your significant other or your potential significant other, how they deal with conflict in other areas of their life. If you see something that bothered you, it's okay to say, hey, remember when you and so-and-so had got into it? Why did you say that to them? Or did that hurt their feelings or whatever? Because I thought that was kind of harsh. And then listen to them tell you, like, well, I said that because we always fight about this. And then the last time he said this, you know, whatever. And just listen to how that's going to go and see if you expect y'all to be arguing in that way or you expect to hear those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I found on...
Also, your phone's starting to break up a little bit.
Oh, no. It's because I'm in this jail of an office of mine.
Oh.
I gotta turn a certain way. Can you hear me better now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I gotta just make sure my phone is over here on this side. Dang. Okay. I'm looking for this article that talks about... Okay, anyway, well, I'm going to start with this and then I'll go to the one that I'm trying to find. This one talks about a false dichotomy, which I think is important to, I thought this paragraph was important. It says, you've been dating a guy for a while and as you've gotten to know each other better, you have started to see a side of him, a new side of him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets angry about politics or when venting about his job. Even though his anger is not directed toward you, it scares you nonetheless, especially when you think about the future and the possibility of raising kids together. Maybe he regularly tunes you out or isn't actively engaged every time you're telling a story and this bothers you. Where do you go from him? From here? Without the experience of handling conflict, many of us tend to either sweep such incidents under the rug or end the relationship. For women who are conflict avoidant, who avoid addressing a potential problem, or stating their own opinion in order to keep those around them comfortable, choosing one of these extremes may be a tempting response. But in doing so, they not only sacrifice their needs and often their happiness, but also the health of the relationship by foregoing the opportunity to build a crucial conflict resolution skill.
Oh my God.
It's no wonder that so many people enter marriages unsure how to navigate healthy conflict resolution when it is never put into practice during their dating relationships. So what they're saying, because it's going to go into explaining the happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is when you see something you don't like, instead of trying to work through that or find a way to resolve that, like if they're doing something you don't like, instead of saying, I don't really like when you do that, could you do this instead? They just say, I'm not going to say anything at all, and I'll just deal with it on my own. Or they say, this is over. I got to go.
I'm done both.
So the happy medium is if two people, different human beings with disparate points of view and experiences are to spend their lives together, some conflict is to be expected. Mm-hmm. Learning how to handle conflict in a healthy way is vital to happy marriage and an important personal skill regardless of relationship. So you start to find a happy medium, which is it's talking about seeing a conflict as an opportunity for growth. If we're always misunderstanding each other in this way, why not find ways to understand each other better? Why not say, every time we talk about this, I seem to upset you. And that makes me feel bad because I don't want to be on your nerves all the time. Every time we talk about this thing, what can I do differently? Or what is it that I'm saying that upsets you every time? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes in the heat of the argument, you can't get to that,
right?
Because everybody's mad. So after you have dropped the argument, you just say, you know, let's come to a happy medium here. Let's, what would make you happy when we talk about this issue? And then they should ask you the same. That is also assuming that both partners want to do better mm-hmm. and be better. And that's the red flag that they also go into that conflict resolution is not something that one person can do. So if when it's time to resolve the conflict, you're the only one trying to resolve it and they trying to shut down or, you know, sweep it to the side or why are you always bringing that up, then you might want to reevaluate some things.
Yeah, I agree. And I've gotten to the point one time where I've asked that question, like, I've already stated what I need for us to do better. Tell me what you need from me so that we don't mm-hmm. keep bumping heads on the same thing. And he didn't have an answer. And it's like, okay, well, that don't really sound like you're trying, you know, because it's like,
right.
If it's, it can't just be dismissed that like, I'm wanting to talk about something that you don't want to talk about. We need to talk through that because this keeps happening. So,
right.
Right. That is definitely a red flag because that also has to do with them wanting to take any type of ownership in the conflict. Mm-hmm. So you can't move.
And that's
it.
The big thing. I love problem solving, not necessarily always interpersonal problem solving, mm-hmm. but my first thought when there is a problem is how can we fix this? It's not always, you know, let's get everything out on the table. But I realize that that's important mm-hmm. when it's between two people. So sometimes when I feel a way about something, what I have learned to do is not always make everything that I'm feeling my partner's responsibility or potential partner's responsibility. If I feel a way about something, it might be because of something I already think or something that I have assumed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I step to the side and I'll tell them, like, I'm not ignoring you today, but I really need a second to just let me think through why this bothered me so much. Because if I keep talking about it, I'm just going to keep getting mad at mm-hmm. it. And I don't know why I'm so mad at this. Like, you don't seem very mad. And so I need to know why I am so pissed off by this.
Right.
And so I just want to just give me a minute. Give me today to think through that. And I'll come back with my thoughts and we can talk about it. And thankfully, I have had partners recently who have been up for that. Like, they That's would awesome. Rather talk to me when I'm calm. Girl, in the past, though, if I said that, he was like, no, we gonna talk about it right now because every time we get into it, you always need to take a second. You trying to ignore me and whoop. And then I was like, okay, well, this is not gonna work because I can't resolve conflict in this state. Like, it doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So I always have to look for people. I have to look for partners who will allow me that space.
Yeah.
Because
you communicated though, because I think I'm open to somebody saying that they need space to think about stuff. You completely ignoring me. My reaction is always, I go so far left after, like, I just want to block you. I don't want to talk to you no more. Cause conflict resolution has not always been natural for me. I don't mm-hmm. like conflict at all, whether it's with friends, family, like a lot of times I am so, because I know that, well, in the past, there wasn't like a medium. I'm either not bothered or I'm pissed. There's not like really no in between. Mm-hmm. So if I try to address something that I know that the other person's personality is just as strong as mine or stronger than mine, and they actually don't mind conflict, I typically avoid mm-hmm. having conversations with those type of people because I know I'm gonna get upset and it's gonna be like emotion involved for me. And they could really be trying to solve a problem, but I'm just like freaking out because I'm just like, we just leave it alone, you know? So
right.
that's definitely something that I've tried to learn. But if I am open to talking about it, there's one thing for you to say you don't want to talk about it right now. There's another for you to just completely ignore me and dismiss the fact right. that I'm upset. That
right.
is that will make me just
I hate being go ignored. And that's a really huge red flag to me. I cannot be in a relationship with someone who would ignore me on purpose. Mm-hmm. One, because I'm anxious right. and having someone not talk to me and they know that I'm trying to talk to them is really upsetting mm-hmm. for me. It freaks me out. But then two, I don't like being manipulated.
Right.
Like, I feel like if you're ignoring me, you know it's because it's going to make me feel a certain type of way. And the fact that you want me to feel that way is really, that's messed up to me. So, and I don't do that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not going to be, I don't play the kind of game where it's like, well, let me, if I step back, he's going to miss me. Like, I don't really
I don't like them kind of games.
Like, if it, if it takes all that, we're out. I don't have to do all
and
that.
I had an ex
I'm not
that,
your
I think
mom.
I do have some trauma behind an ex that did that.
Girl, I know I
do. So, like, that's why in my most recent relationship, that was our number one problem. Because I'm like, I don't have the tolerance for that. Because I've been through that with somebody who literally, like, it was nothing else but he felt some type of way about something. So he would just ignore me for days.
I have one who would block me and not tell me. Like, from his phone, just like block me for the day, and then like later on be like, oh yeah, I had blocked you earlier because you were getting
see, and that's ridiculous.
Like, why would you do
right.
that?
And I didn't have any way to get in contact with him because I didn't talk to his friends, he didn't like have social media, so it was like just this panic. And like, I like, because my first thought is not naturally you're ignoring me, my first thought goes to something is wrong, like that's just
yeah,
how
what's
I'm
wrong
set up.
With you? Are you okay?
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, you might be ignoring me, and then it's like, oh, you are ignoring me, so. I in some ways I'm a control freak, and that makes me feel like I'm losing complete control when I don't understand why somebody is treating me a certain kind of
somebody
way.
You care about.
Right.
Like, it's different if it's not, you know, somebody at work or whatever, but this is somebody that we're supposed to be in this together and you just gonna ignore me.
Yeah, that's a trigger point for me for sure. So conflict resolution, that's why I've gotten to the point now where I feel like I'm gonna communicate what I need to say in the best way that I can say that, but like I need to have somebody that's gonna get in the ring with me.
Yeah. And so another on Very Well Mind, this is a conflict resolution tip.
Okay.
From here. And I thought this was a really good one because it goes to one of my biggest problem areas, I think, that I've worked through as an adult. Communicating. Oh, it says practice assertive communication.
That's good.
Communicating your feelings and needs clearly is also an important aspect of conflict resolution. As you probably know, saying the wrong thing can be like throwing fuel on a fire and make a conflict worse. The important thing to remember is to say what's on your mind in a way that is clear and assertive without being aggressive or putting the other person on the defensive. And so it says one effective conflict resolution strategy is to put things in terms of how you feel rather than what you think the other person is doing wrong, using I feel statements. And that helps because it keeps from the other person from thinking you're assuming their intent.
Right.
Like, you just say, when you did this, it made me feel this. Now, that didn't say that that was their intent to make you feel anything.
But that's how you
and
feel.
Exactly. And if the person loves you, they can just simply say, that wasn't my intent, and I'm sorry you felt that way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't mean to do that, so I'm sorry. And y'all can work through how to not do that again.
Right.
But that keeps you from being like, you always making me feel like blah, blah, blah. You know, you can say, when you do this, this is the feeling that's associated with
my life.
That for me.
That's definitely a problem, girl. Because I'd definitely be like, one time I went off and he was like, you acting like I'm this bad person talking about that I do blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, but that's the way I feel. But I didn't always address it and that's the way I feel. I addressed it very matter-of-factly, like you treat me like crap. Versus you do things that make me feel like you don't care about me. It was just like, you treat me so badly and like I'm just this terrible person in the whole world. But that's how, but that's how I felt, because it felt like you
didn't
really treat somebody like that you thought this way of without knowing
exactly
the intent behind it. So that's
and that's a valid feeling. It just isn't always the person's intent to make you feel that way. But even if it's not, sometimes it is a matter of, okay, well, we've talked about this and you are disregarding the fact that I told you already how that makes me feel, you know? So that's not to say that you just always are trying to make somebody understand. They have to have the will to understand on their own.
The desire
they have
to
listen.
Understand.
Yeah, they have to listen to you with love also. Like, you're telling them this in love, saying, you have said this thing and I know that you don't think it's that serious when you say it, but when you say it, this is what I hear and what it makes me feel like. And if they are listening with an intent to understand you, they will say, okay, I didn't know that, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, or I meant to say it, but I definitely didn't mean to hurt your feelings that way, or whatever the case may be. And y'all can work through it that way. And then there was one more thing that I found, and I cannot find it now.
Do you have anything about really the upsetting timing of addressing conflict? Because,
well, no, go ahead.
Oh, because I was going to say, so, like, this week I had posted on Instagram, and I was saying, like, I had made a post, and I was like, ladies, if you send a long text message expressing how you feeling and you don't get a response, what you doing? And a lot of people was stopped or they pulling up. Like, those are two options. And I asked men, like, how do you guys prefer to be communicated to? And all of them said in person. So I feel like that's cap, personally, because, like, y'all not ready to just have no conversation when somebody is mad at y'all. I don't care what you say. But it's how do you find that happy medium? Because for me, like, if I am sending a text message going off, that means you have not provided me a space to tell you how I feel. That means that I don't have an opportunity to say it to your face or you're not answering the phone. Those are, like, that is when I resort to saying stuff via text message, you know? Like, or at some point, you have made this space so intimidating that I can't talk to you without putting it in writing.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
So, like,
I know, I can tell you personally, just as from a communication standpoint, standpoint, that I'm saying personally, as in this is in my mind, how I think, what I think is the best way to go about communicating when there is a conflict. One, I think it has to be something couple to couple. I don't think there's a, people think that there's one effective mode of communication, and it isn't.
Right.
Two people who are in relation with each other, you two dictate the best way for the two of you to communicate.
Agree.
If texting works for both of you, there's nothing wrong with texting. If texting works for you, but it does not work for your partner, y'all have to figure out what you're supposed to do then. Like, y'all have to say, well, you don't like texting and I don't like pulling up, so can we FaceTime? Or can we, whatever the case may be. Like, y'all have to figure out what's the best mode of conflict resolution, communication, when it's time to resolve conflict. I am not a person who can resolve a conflict in the middle of anger. I can express myself in the middle of anger, but we probably won't resolve anything right now. I can step back, though, and say, I can say, I'm so mad right now, I can barely think straight. Give me a minute or give me a day or whatever. And then we can come back together, decide how we're going to talk. I prefer that. And I hope that whoever I'm dating prefers that, too, because I'm telling you right now, I am not a knockdown, drag out type of girl no more. Like, I did that in my 20s, in my early 20s, and it's just exhausting to try to fix things while you're mad. So if we can both calm down, whether we got to step to the side and write about it, or, you know, just take a few hours, go to opposite ends of, if we're in the same house, opposite ends of the house, and just cool off a bit, I'm better with that. So I think it really just depends on what is the best. But again, y'all have to be at a place where you feel like you're in this together and not like you're fighting each other.
Yep.
Because if I don't feel like we're in this together, I'm less likely to think of how to resolve the conflict. I'm thinking of how to win the argument. Like, I'm thinking of how to be right.
I'm trying to protect, to tell you that you're wrong. Let me tell you this, because you're probably not gonna listen anyway. It's time to get my way.
Right, and that's when I start the long text message thing.
That is very much when I feel like the thing. That means,
and yes, and at that point I don't care what your reply is. I'm thinking to myself, I just need to say this, and I'm not gonna say nothing else about it, and I want to be left alone after that. That's when I start the 8-paragraph text messaging.
I do that too. Let me tell you something. I was telling this one dude that, because he was saying, I forgot who I was talking to, and he was like, girls always like sending these long messages, and like, honestly, like, I don't be trying to go back and forth. I said, sometimes we wouldn't even know if you did or not, because by that time, especially depending on what we said in that message, if we got enough bars to say all that, they probably dropped after that. Like, either we don't care about what you're about to say, or we blocked you because we don't want to see whether you responded or not. I know I got that habit sometimes. I block it because I can be very upset and say what I have to say, but I sometimes am wondering what the response is going to be, and I don't have the discipline enough. Because, like, one of my exes, he was like, I'm not the type of person that will blow you up for you to even block me. It's not about you. I block you for me. So that I don't open that window back up to start this whole conversation. Because if I've gotten to the point to where I am typing that message, you have made me feel so much of a type of way that I, like, I'm done. And I need to be done. So any, like, little inkling of leaving, like, a window or something open, I know that that's potential for me to start accepting stuff past the point that I said I wasn't going to accept anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and then I'll be ready to fight.
That's exactly the reason. And you and I know each other enough that you know that I know you're dead serious and you know I'm dead serious. That's the reason why I don't resolve conflict when I'm mad, because I really do be ready to fight. Like, it's not I'm gonna be yelling and screaming, because I don't like all that. Like, I don't like all the extra energy and the hype hollering. I'm like, okay, if we're gonna be doing all this, we might as well start smacking each other, because right. I'm ready to fight. When somebody raises their voice at me, I'm like, okay, well, fine then. Let me start taking my earrings off, because we got to fight. And it should not be that way, no. Obviously. But that's just, I guess that's my fight or flight reflex. Mm-hmm. When I feel like I'm being challenged in that way, like you yelling at me like I'm a child or like I'm somebody. Okay, so we about to throw hands then. And that's what you're telling me.
And I don't allow that in my relationship. I don't.
Me neither.
That cursing, like, people, I and y'all hear me slip up. I am a curser, especially, you know, if I'm trying to be funny.
I am a curser.
I'm trying to prove a point. I'm gonna have to slide a couple curse words in there. But when I'm in a relationship, we don't do that. Like, we might like say curse words, but we don't curse at each other. I don't curse at the person.
I don't
that's
do
my
name
partner.
Calling for sure.
None of that, because I don't even want to like slide that in and make you think that that's comfortable, to the point that anytime we end up getting in an argument, we're gonna be cursing at each other. I ain't that type of person. I've never. Okay, let me make sure I don't lie. In my adult years, I have not put my hands on no man that I'm in a relationship with. I don't plan. Like, honestly, I probably ain't fought like a boyfriend since like the eighth grade. For
no,
real.
I don't be fighting like, my boyfriends. That. But that's like, what I mean. Exactly the reason why.
Yeah, like,
I don't
want to be in no situation like that. And I don't want to be with the man that would even let it get that far anyways. Like,
I've been with men who think that's fun, like getting me riled up to the point that I am like really, really upset. They're laughing at that. Like, oh, you look so cute when you, like, that's not, I'm really ready to fight
right.
you. And the thing is,
if I start breaking stuff in your house, you're going to think I'm wrong.
Girl, and the thing is, if I feel like I can't beat you up, you know I will make a phone call. It's not, like, if I get that mad, like, don't do that to me. But it's really about... It is about setting the parameters for what's disrespectful mm-hmm. to the two of you. Because when we're angry, there's more potential for disrespect because yes. somebody is mad. I don't believe that people say things that they don't mean. I think that you say things you didn't mean to say right then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe, but you thought it, the fact that you thought to say it, you meant that, whatever it was. Maybe you didn't mean to say it, maybe not at that moment or whatever. But whatever you said was something that you thought, it came from somewhere. Yep. So if I want to avoid doing that and hurting someone past whatever the point is, I have to step away and calm down first so that I can talk to you like you're somebody I love and not somebody I want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
this
I can't find
a lot of
self control
because I definitely
yeah it really does
in a position where I literally had to like mid going off and I had to keep stopping myself and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna leave because I'm not about to disrespect you just because you being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to say something that I was going to have to take back. So I was like, this yep. is not, like, this is taking me so far left. And I feel like I have grown so much when it comes to how I react to things and keeping my hands to myself. And, like, you know, like,
yes, I do know.
So I don't know. If you are somebody, I feel like I can't trust you anymore if you are going to put me in a vulnerable space to
yes.
take me back to something that I've grown from. So
and
I'm,
I'll be crying.
Know.
Like, I am definitely
if
a crier.
I cry,
everything,
if I cry,
girl, everything makes me want to cry. If I get real, real mad, I'm going to cry. If I get really sad, I'm going to cry. If I'm explaining something to someone and there's any type of emotion attached to it, I'm more than likely going to cry as I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
So.
Me yesterday trying to tell you I couldn't record.
Yes. That just is what it is. And I don't like being made to feel like that's dramatic.
Yeah.
And it might be dramatic, but it's just my physical response to whatever the emotion is. So I don't need you to acknowledge every time that I'm crying and to be like, oh, here you go crying again. Like, stop doing that.
Right.
Like, yes, I'm going to cry every time. Just let me cry. Like, be quiet.
Just leave me alone.
Act like I'm not crying and let me talk to you the way that I'm going to talk or whatever. And if I need to go collect myself, I will. But I hate being made to feel like crying is so stupid because I know I feel ridiculous, but I can't help it. So
maybe that
cry.
Was part of my, maybe that was like starting to become the cloak. Cause I definitely cried in front of the first time I cried in front of my ex Well, I didn't cry in front of him. I got up and went to the bathroom and started crying. And he came in because we were having a discussion, and I just really started to feel like he was just like not. That's when I started to feel like the honeymoon stage was over, because it was like the representative is gone. I'm telling him that I feel, you know, not that I felt some type of way about something, but I was explaining how I felt about a certain topic. And he was like, so, and sometimes that gets me flustered. If I am going into the conversation like willing to compromise, and you are going into like, I'm standing on what I said and there's no wavering, that's intimidating to me sometimes, especially because I was coming into it willing to compromise, if that makes sense. So it's like, it's like you just have up this wall, and that starts to feel combative to me, and that flusters me. So I got upset, and so I went to the bathroom. And then he came in there and sat by me by the tub, and that made me cry more than I was embarrassed, because I was like, I'm not no punk. I don't just be crying to be crying. But, like, it was more so, I think my feelings was hurt, because it was like, this is the first time we've been in a situation where we have to try to compromise, and you are very much so, like, and it made me feel, I had a lot of different feelings, because I felt like I didn't have enough confidence in myself to assert what I was saying. You know, I already had made up in my mind, like, this is going to be like a make or break conversation, because I need to know if we're going to be able to balance based on this topic. And so for him to be so like, well, this is me and I stand on that, I think, I honestly think that that, because I did not stand on mine, that was his way in. Like, I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago. I think that kind of like, you know, hit me right at the knees. And that's where I messed up, because it was something that I was not firm about, and that he said he was never gonna shake on, and it just everything else just kind of happened like that. It's like, okay, I say what I mean what I say, and she, you know, she wavered because she loved me type of thing, you know.
Yeah, and that's another manipulation tactic that people will do, that you can compromise but I will not be doing so. And sometimes there are certain issues that you can't compromise on. Like, there are certain things that, I'll take adoption, for example. I am a person who intends to adopt. This is not something that I feel like is just a thing that I came up with. This is something that I feel like is a calling that I have on, you know, on my life. Like, this is something I'm supposed to do. So I cannot be with somebody who thinks adoption is silly or unnecessary, or would rather have just their own biological kids, and is completely against adoption. That is something that I cannot compromise on. A compromise for me would be maybe we foster or something like that. But a compromise, I can't say, well, we won't adopt, but we don't have two or three kids. And that's like, if you wanted to have three kids and I say one and adopt, my compromise is not going to be two and not adopt.
Right.
Like, that, I can't do that. So that will be a space where you have to be like, okay, this is going to have to be a no. Like, I can't be with this person because this is not a thing that I can. And that will hurt your feelings sometimes, because just say the shoe is on the other foot, and the other person has something that they can't compromise on, and I'm just not willing to do it. Then it's like, dang, well, we gotta part ways, you know. So it's sad sometimes, and that's another thing to keep in mind about conflict resolution, is that sometimes the resolve is to end things, and that is okay.
Yeah,
like, you don't have to resolve everything and remain a couple if it's not going to be the best for the both of you.
Amen.
But you can congratulate yourselves for resolving a conflict. Still, you can say, okay, well, that conflict is resolved. It didn't end the way I wanted it, but this is what's best for us. And maybe you can't say that right away because your feelings are hurt, but eventually you'll be able to say that was the best. It worked out for the best.
That was good. I can't wait to listen to this episode. That was awesome.
You know, I did not listen to this after I edited it at all. I don't listen. But yeah, so I'm just going to wrap up the Dig in the Scene segment right there then, and we can move on.
All right. Well, let's hear a little from our sponsors. So we are now moving into the Rescue Me segment for all of our new listeners. The Rescue Me segment is a segment where we allow crowd participation, as we would like to say. This is a segment where you guys can send in letters, or you can record yourselves and email them to us, or record yourselves through Anchor. You can send your emails to savethedaysos@gmail.com. We also add in a little bit of fun sometimes if we don't necessarily have a story that week, or we just have something that we want to chat about. So this week, oh, by the way, there is this new Facebook group that I'm stealing material from, because them people are putting some horrible dating stories in there, like awful. So So it won't be this week, but next week I'm gonna come with one of them stories because they are really hilarious and these people really like to share. So it's called Black and Degreed and Millennial and Single or something like that.
I seen somebody tweeting about that group.
Yeah, because this girl tweeted one day. Yeah, because this girl had tweeted one day and she was like, if you're Black, degreed, single, blah, 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 report to this tweet. And then I ended up finding out.
Yeah, I retweeted it.
Oh, okay. So I ended up finding out there was a Facebook group. So I'm in there. So, you know, learned a lot about a lot of people. I'll say that. it's very entertaining for me just to watch the threads and how everything's are going. But they are talking about dating stories. So I'll definitely be sharing some of those because, I mean, it's realistic. It's what we're going through and it's what our podcast talks about. So yeah. Sorry to my non-Black people. They are not accepting people in their group that ain't Black. So everybody got something for somebody, but that group ain't for nobody but Black people. So I just
and that's just what it is.
Put that out there. Sorry if your feelings are hurt, but some stuff you just can't get into. So this week for the Rescue Me segment, I thought it would be cool. I'm gonna do this every now and then. The victim that I picked this week, I kind of feel bad about, but whatever. This week we are going to talk about five times a character in a movie or characters in a movie could have used the Rescue Me segment. And so this week, this used to be my favorite movie, but the older I've gotten, it's not as much of a favorite anymore.
It's Love and Basketball, ain't it? Yes. I knew it.
There's just so many letdowns in the movie. So I'm going to just jump right into it, and then we can kind of discuss and go from there. So five times that the characters from Love and Basketball needed the Rescue Me segment. And there's, trust me when I say, there are so many more than five, but these are just five that I picked out. So one is, and this isn't in any kind of order, but so one is, I felt like a time where the Rescue Me segment could have came into play was instead of, so in the movie, Q is very envious of Monica's ambitions, especially at a point when stuff was going down for him. Like the thing with her having curfew or like when she won her game and that was the same day he had a bad day. I felt like Monica could have used the Rescue Me segment for that on like how to react to the way, like, because honestly, if she wrote in, I would probably tell her to leave him because he was just being ridiculous. But also he needed the Rescue Me segment for the way he was handling himself. I mean, I know that the movie is trying to show that these are teenagers, so they're not going, I mean, they're 18 in this movie, supposedly.
Still teenagers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when they're in this movie, so of course they're still learning about themselves and stuff, but I just thought he was really ridiculous a lot. Because it was like, you get more play, like, literally, that was line in the movie, you get more play being Quincy McCall's girl anyways. He really believed that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of trash to me. Two, this is, listen, Love and Basketball will have me effed up forever for this. When she asked to play for that man's heart, she needed the Rescue Me segment. Because, girl, what?
And the fact that he played his hardest, it was like,
beat her down!
Like, sis, as soon as you saw him actually start to break a sweat, you should have been like, oh, all right, I see where you
when
at.
You had never to mind. Take your shirt off to try to, like, act like you serious about it, and he literally takes off his knee brace and dunks on you, okay? That's how he finished the game, with the dunk. First of all, you asked him for this engaged man's heart. Yeah, so she needed the rest of me.
It's embarrassing.
It's very frustrating.
At the end of the day.
Okay, so this is a Rescue Me area where I felt like the producers did not do her any justice by not showing her moving on at any point in that movie.
That was my main part.
And bro, they got her over in Spain. She ain't been on no dates. She talking about she don't know how to set up her answering machine. Then she moved back home and she watching him as he done met somebody else. Like, I just felt like it did a disservice to act like her life just stopped when they broke up in college. Like, y'all could have gave her a man at some point in that movie. And the only man y'all did give her was that weird boy at the beginning of the movie at prom, which y'all also had to make QB the super saver hoe for that. So, could have did better on that.
They could have gave her anything. Some business.
Hell, something.
Because she didn't have anything.
She was bored. She was over there watching Family Matters in Spanish. Like, they made her life look so depressing. And I'm like, she played ball in college and she got to go play pro ball overseas. Why did
like,
you not y'all,
she didn't get her no party. She didn't get dressed up. Like,
she
what is
whole
this?
Championship. Why? And she was at dinner looking depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, needed just a rescue me segment there. We could have got her on a blind dating show or something, because also, I feel like another rescue me segment for Q is, I feel like it would have been, while I feel like the scenes were realistic of how he reacted to the news he got about his dad, I feel like that downward spiral could have been a teachable moment for Black men, for them to see on screen how to process conflict. And I feel like, I know that that probably wasn't what they were focusing on in the movie. I just feel like that would have been a great opportunity to kind of show them how to deal with conflict versus like showing the norm of just like cutting everybody off and becoming a drunk and wanting to fight and do all this crazy stuff because you're upset. Because he literally, the response to his dad cheating was going and cheating on Monica.
A mess.
It didn't really fix anything. So, and also I said, with both of them being in college, I felt like it would have been a great opportunity or a great rescue me time to help them learn how to communicate. I mean, how to figure out what styles of communication work best for them so that they could balance while they were growing. Because, like, the whole, like, when he wanted her to sit outside for curfew, but she was saying she couldn't break curfew, and then she volunteered to break curfew, but then he and his feelings, because he was like, why you wouldn't have volunteered that at first? I felt like they just, there was a lot of times where they just missed each other because they communicated so differently. So I think, like, this show, for example, this particular episode could have probably helped in one of those situations, because they did have, even though they knew each other their entire lives, they didn't always know each other in that way, and because they never had to deal with the conflict so serious like that,
and girl,
they had no idea how to address it. Like,
that's the thing that be getting people. The I know you so well thing. You don't know me as a romantic partner.
Exactly. And you haven't seen me go through anything. And that's a whole
right, that's an entirely different kind of relationship. And I think that needs to, even from boyfriend to husband, from girlfriend to wife, y'all don't know each other in that sense yet. No. So stop acting like you just know everything about, you don't ever know everything about anybody.
And you would be surprised when trauma happens to your partner while y'all are together, and you see how they react to it. Because people receive stuff differently. Some people, like, especially like when it comes to stuff like death or something that has just really torn apart all that they've known in their life, like, people react in totally different ways. Me, for example, I've dealt with like death for a very long time. I started losing people in my life very young. You know, like my stepdad passed when I was 11. One of my friends got shot when I was 14. Like, I've just dealt with death a lot, so it's not unfamiliar territory to me. Like, I know how death does me. I know how, you know, I typically react to. I know what I need in those moments. But some people in their 30s are just now experiencing losing anybody close to them for a long time. And my God, that is a blessing. But that is going to be they don't know how to respond to that. Like, especially, I think what I've seen for me, like with men that I've experienced, them losing their grandfathers or their dads really like does something to them. Like, it shifts a lot for them in that moment. And so sometimes I think if you've never seen them go through something, and they don't even know how to process it, like, you can end up getting offended by how they, I mean, you still got to be responsible about how you treat people, but at the same time, you see new sides of them that you never experienced before.
I don't even know who gonna if I lose any of my parents in a relationship, I have no idea how I'm gonna act.
Me either.
And so I just hope that I don't do anything that's gonna be hurt my partner, but I don't have a clue what I'm going to do.
So that's
not, or my, like my sister. Oh my God. Girl, oh Lord Jesus
just
Christ.
Just don't contact me, okay? Just let me fall in hope.
Please just let me be in here for the rest of whatever life I thought I was gonna have. Exactly. I'm just over it at this point. But yeah, I definitely agree. Anyway.
So yeah, so I feel like that, because that was such a traumatic moment for him when his family dynamic just went to hell, especially because of how much he followed and believed in his dad. I think that they hadn't really had any like conflicts before that, so they didn't even know how to communicate anything. He really didn't know how to communicate nothing. He couldn't even talk to his mama. So I think that would have been a great rescue me moment. And then a bonus one is, can we discuss when Monica walked in there talking about she gonna leave when he was taking that girl to Burger King?
What'd you say when she said what?
When she came into his room and the girl was waiting on Q, to go to Burger King.
Oh, yeah.
And she
still was his whole entire girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, she let that man put her through a lot, and I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. Yes, I do. I do understand it. I've been there.
Yeah, me too. But I was just like, wow, you know? So I will say, she is a different me. They, like, at best, at that point in their careers, in college, they may have been 20 years old. She is a lot more mature 20-year-old than I was. Like, at this age,
I was gonna say,
I probably would, you know what I've learned? I would most likely keep my hands to myself. At 20, I definitely would have drug her up out. Actually, I probably would have hit him. I'd have snatched them overalls straight over his neck from the bottom up, would have ripped his pants in half. Like, excuse me?
Yep.
And if you don't worry about it, I'll leave. I ain't never I'll leave in nothing. I'm staying right here, and everybody gonna be miserable. Or y'all,
if I say don't worry about it, I'll leave, that means you will never see me again. That's, and that's on everything. That's all, like, if I say do not, you two, don't worry about it, I'm gonna go ahead and go. You, the back of me leaving out of that room will be the last thing you see of me. I'm, don't call me, don't text me. That's when you know that I'm really, like,
yeah, I must really, all right,
bet I'm over that. But in my 20s, I don't think that would have happened. Fight about it.
I feel like you should be, early 20s, if I said that, you need to be scared about what you about to walk outside to. Because I might be like that one lady who was on the video and somehow she ended up standing inside of somebody's car through their windshield.
Girl, what?
I think she might have been.
No, I was definitely gonna fight in my early 20s. Wasn't gonna be no, I don't worry, I'll leave back then. Nope.
Slanging. And she had on the windbreaker.
And I've been there a couple of times. Wrapped that around.
Somebody got a
cop. Not you figuring out how she could have been this girl.
So, those are 5 times. And a bonus. The bonus is, honestly, Monica, you could have just called me to rescue you and we could have went and fought. At the dorm, we could have fought his roommates that laughed after we left, like all of that good stuff. But those are 5 ways that I feel like the loving basketball characters could have used the rescue me segment. I'll definitely be doing that again because that was actually fun to kind of think through, even though I felt like I tore up my favorite movie. But honestly, as a love story, it's pretty trash. So oh god, oh, I might have to do Being Mary Jane one day, and that's not even a movie, but she gonna have to make it to
I
the
watched
table.
One episode of that and I was like,
she's gonna have to come here.
This show is not for me, but I'll be here for you to discuss it.
Yeah, Mary Jane. First of all, a part of it, I was like, are we dating the same man? Because my god, like, wow. So, if you guys want to contribute, you want to send us in your stories of your dating experiences, please do that. You can email us at savethedatesos@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram at Save the Date Show, and you can share it from there, or you can go to anchor.fm Save the Date Show / Save the Date Show, and then you can hit the voice messenger, I think it's what it's called, button, and you can record yourself there, and that will automatically pull into our files for us to upload to the show, and we can move on.
All right, trend watch time. This is gonna be short. And it's kind of obvious, but this one is about video dating. I think we talked before about dating moving to digital, and then even more futuristic, we talked about, like, I can't remember what episode that was, but I do remember talking about this thing that I read
about
dating.
The people in Europe that's going to be touching on each other virtually.
Yes, yes, virtual sensations and all that kind of stuff. But this one obviously is happening. Mind you, this article was written before COVID-19 even was a thing. So it's already been predicted that, like, online dating in particular will move to more so video than just, you know, you have this profile up and people can swipe right and left and then y'all meet up. But you can swipe right and left and video chat with people. You can do that now. But they're saying that it's going to move more heavily toward video, even in your, like, video introductions of yourself.
Oh, wow.
Where it's not just a profile online, it's going to be like a video of you either talking or, you know, people be uploading their reels, like, who knows, like a highlight reel of your date life. Like, if you're gonna, I would scream if I got on a site and it was a man with, like, a, you know, like, I'm thinking R&B, like, you know, like, with a rose, like, if you date if you date me, this is what you have to look forward to, because I know somebody is going to do it. I know
somebody's going to MTV Cribs. I would holler. That real, okay?
I would holler. And I would probably swipe whatever direction. I don't know about dating sites. So whatever direction means, yes, I would swipe it. Because that is funny to me. And I would feel like I would need to talk to him just for the entertainment, if nothing else. One time on Facebook, this guy, I don't know how many people he did this to, but he sent a voice note, like, talking himself up. Like, hey, my name is so-and-so. I just wanted to stop by and let you know that I think you're beautiful. Here's a few things about me. And he just started talking about himself.
Okay.
Excuse me? Did I ask you for any of this? But he was dead serious. And then he was like, so if you like any of that you hear, just, you know, message me back. And I was like, what
is happening?
That sound
like that man from LinkedIn, Candace.
From LinkedIn.
I am so glad that was not me, bro.
No, I was crying. I was like, I have to send this to Candace because I know people be talking to her on LinkedIn, and that is so funny.
It was one guy from the Wu-Tang Clan was swearing up and down that I was the love of his life, and I had never met him before. It
from
creeped
the
me out.
Wu-Tang Clan? Wu-Tang,
yes. And he was so dead serious. Candace, and I was like, sir, what are you talking about? And I was like, we've never met before. He was like, but I know when God sent me my wife. All right,
this is not the Wu-Tang Clan, though.
I just, girl, and he was one of, like, for real, from there. Like, that, and then I've had a WNBA coach reach out to me. And it sucked because it's actually my favorite basketball team, my favorite WNBA team. And he was very pressed. He was an old white man. And I was like, are you trying to give me a job? And he was trying to be like my sugar daddy.
Ooh, you fumbled a bag, sis.
Could
have been courtside.
No, ma'am. No, thank you. Somehow he ended up in Jacksonville.
Girl, you need to pass me
I just sent you his information. He likes to text people at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, he got my phone number off my resume and started, like, hitting me up and sending me.
Oh, no.
I almost gave away who he was. I'm about to say what he was sending me pictures of. But,
I was ready.
It was so bad because, like, the way I verified it is I have other friends that work in sports and entertainment. I was like, we really have the same connection. And then I was like, no, this man is posting about games. Like, this is not a catfish. LinkedIn is not a dating site, guys.
Girl, let people tell it can be. They're like, that's where you can see everybody's credentials. And I'm like, no, I don't want to date nobody from whoever's idea it was that when we connect on LinkedIn for you to send me a message saying, thanks for the connection. How are you? Stop.
I don't respond to any of those.
I don't even hire. I have nothing on this page that you need to be pressed about, that you need to thank me every time we can. I just, the amount of messages. I don't even be wanting to connect because I just know somebody is going to message me after I do it. And I don't like it.
That's
I don't
how I
know
was
whose idea that was, but it's annoying.
Before I became a recruiter, I was not connecting with nobody. I was like, nope. I'm here looking for jobs.
But if I was a recruiter, that would make sense because you're trying to impress me to get a job. But just on a regular, like, no, leave me alone, bro.
Imani, that ain't what they be just throwing their fish hook out. These be people, they repair toilets for a living. They like stuff that has nothing to do with what I recruit for. And they just be doing it. I'm like, What do you want? I'm not, nope. Or they'd be like, hello, beautiful. Don't call me beautiful. That's inappropriate. I would not want you to call me that at work. Don't call me
like, what? Like, nope. even on like Instagram, I'm not answering no message that starts, hey, baby.
No,
I don't know you.
From nowhere.
Ain't no, hey, baby. Are you out of your mind?
I get enough of them spam sugar daddies writing me on Instagram. I don't need real people just annoying me. So stop. And them direct messages on Facebook. I be seeing them. I just don't open them because I don't want to talk to y'all. Let's be clear.
For real, though.
I'll flirt into you. And then if it is somebody I'm responding to, I am down for the conversation until you ask to meet up because, honestly, I probably was responding out of boredom.
Girl.
Somebody posted that today. Really, they was crazy. Why is it that every time it gets to the you want to meet up part, people go ghost? Because we don't really want to. We just chatting. That's why I don't do online dating like that. I told you, I tried that Facebook thing. And plus, Facebook, like, you have to reject them to see the next person. So it's like, if it's somebody that you think is okay looking, but you don't want to match because you don't know if you're really interested, you can't see anybody else until you match or reject them. But my friend was showing the other dating site. It's called Black. I wonder, are they going to try it out since this video thing is becoming a thing now? But that one, you can see, like, multiple people at once. But it does get overwhelming because you end up with, like, 100 people liking you the same day you set up the profile.
It's too much. But anyway, I think video dating is a good idea, honestly. Especially for COVID. I'm sure it will. Because a lot of the reason why people defaulted to internet dating is because you couldn't see them for a while. Or unless they chose for you to have to see, you know, their body language and mannerisms and all of that. Like, y'all could meet up. But they wasn't really trying to just have you just see all of that on your profile. So I understand that. And I feel like there would probably still be an option to not.
That's what I was going to ask. Did they give any statistics on how they think it's going to perform?
No, but at the same time, you know how you have the option not to do it, but then if it's a if it's the going trend, everyone is looking for that. So if you don't have a video, you're going to get passed up, because if that's what everybody's expecting, then that's what we want to see. And if you don't have that on your page, what am I doing here? So
that's fair.
I don't know.
I would not be successful at that.
Girl.
I'm not sitting there I do terrible at video interviews if it ain't somebody on the other side. So like talking to somebody.
But then just like having our first date be a virtual one and like that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't think it's horrible. I ain't been on no dating sites either though.
So can somebody please ask Imani out on a virtual date and y'all record it so that I can watch and see, you know, how to do these things.
If you're gonna do it, just my only request is that you please be fine.
Yes, please.
That's all I ask.
We need some fine men in the world. If there are fine people in Florida, please point yourselves out, because
I'm not doing this with you today. All right, guys, that is the end of the trend watch section, and we can move on. Oh my god, she said never mind. I'm not doing this, not today. Not on today.
You guys are so unlucky because y'all don't get to see our text thread.
No, if I ever pass away or something, please break my phone so y'all can my text threads and DMs. Just throw it on the ground. Break.
Do like on a Best Man Holiday.
Yes, just get rid of that phone, please. Oh, I beg of you.
Okay, so we are on to lessons learned. I wish I actually learned a lesson, like, in digging the scene. I wish I would have wrote it down, because I don't remember now. So, but I do know the lesson learned that I wanted to come in with, and I won't say it's particularly a lesson I learned, but I posted this a couple weeks ago. The older I get, the more I'm starting to understand Brandy from Thin Line Between Love and Hate. I'm definitely doing that as one of the Rescue Me segments, by the way. But the more I'm starting to understand her character, and the frustration she had. Because, like, I think a lesson that people can learn from that is, if you are not ready to enter someone's life, leave them alone,
Jesus. That's the least you can do. Because everybody's not ready.
If they are saying, I am peaceful, I am fine, I am good, if you are not ready to approach me properly, just leave me alone. Take them for that. Like, everybody's not trying to play no games just because you, like, want to have fun and see if you can you this your conquest. Like, just leave people alone for real, and for stop real. Acting like they're expecting too much, because they're literally just holding you accountable for what you decided to step into. So leave people alone, because I mean, she went a little cuckoo, she did, but she forewarned him multiple times and he kept pushing the issue, and then when she started to give him some energy, he lost his mind. So I'll say, if you have not watched that movie, that is your homework. If you haven't watched it in a while, that is your homework. Leave people alone.
Do it. That's it to me. My lesson learned is patience, really. I've had to have a lot of patience with people and relationships. And, I mean, especially in relationships, like, how do I say this?
Like, stop. Hold on, wait. It sounded like you got farther away from the phone.
Oh, my bad. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Can I get a little closer? Anyway, so yeah, like, I have to stop getting mad at people who don't communicate in a way that is your favorite style or are bad communicators in general. It just is what it is. And you just either stop talking to them or meet them where they're at and accept it. But, like, being mad about it and, like, it just, it doesn't solve anything. So you either work with them and, you know, tell them what you need better or whatever. And if they can't do that, then let it go. Like, stop trying to, I don't know, get mad at people who don't communicate well. It's just, there's nothing
you can do
to that that's going to be helpful. So
I agree.
And that's my lesson learned.
That's a good one. I definitely had to teach that to myself. Like, one day I just had to tell myself, if this person told me that they are doing the best that they can, then at some mm-hmm. point I have to say that the best that they can is not enough for me.
Yes.
And just yes. move on, because they are really trying. And at this point, like, I'm forcing something that can't work. So
yeah,
that's good.
Agreed.
All right, y'all. Well, we're going to head on out, you know.
Yes, we is. Thank y'all for listening to another episode of the Save the Date podcast. Be sure to leave your comments on our Instagram. We are getting a lot of new Instagram followers, and we really appreciate that. Thank y'all. I kind of have seen that some of y'all may start listening to the show as well, like appreciate in it. Some of the plays. Thank y'all. So leave your comments there. This is a bi-weekly podcast, so you will get another episode, not next week, but next week. As Candace already said, to have your story or questions included on the show, you can email us at savethedatesos@gmail.com or go to Anchor and click the voice note section. You can send us voice notes to the Save the Date email. You can write us a letter, whatever it is. We will incorporate it in the show. You can follow us on Instagram at Save the Date Show. And we're out. That's it.
That's it.